acknowledged is that Dr. Douglas, in his exegesis class, would often say to the students, when you're studying the Bible, put yourself into the shoes of the people that you're studying about. In other words, try and imagine with your mind's eye what it must have been like, what the circumstances were, what the situation was. And today I would pass on that advice to us all. Put yourself in the shoes of the Israelites. What were they thinking? What were they feeling? What must that experience have been like when they stood on the very edge of the waters of the Red Sea? They had witnessed months of devastating plagues upon the land of Egypt, reducing it to nothing. Then after repeated refusals, Pharaoh finally consented to their departure, and very hastily Moses commanded them to gather all their belongings, gather together their possessions, in order that they might leave the land that they had been born in and grown up in. What emotions must have rushed through their hearts? A sense of wonder, perhaps a sense of disbelief, maybe even a sense of confusion for a time. Everything was so hurried. It happened so quickly. One day they were toiling about their normal duties, their slave work. And then in a night, everything changed. And they were free men on the march to the land of Canaan. Can you imagine what they must have thought, what they must have felt? Can you imagine that experience? Here they are setting forth on the way to Canaan, and then all of a sudden, a surprising development takes place, a development that seemed to burst the bubble, to turn the dream into a nightmare. They're brought to a place along the way where they are hemmed in by mountains on either side of them. And they find in front of them the waters of the Red Sea, and behind them closing in with malice, with great enmity and hatred, they find the Egyptians closing in for the kill. They were cut off. What joy they had experienced suddenly evaporated. And worse still, it turned to paralyzing fear. The Bible tells us in this passage, when they saw the Egyptians, they were sore afraid. They were paralyzed with fear. And that fear brought pessimism. It brought despair. It brought panic. It brought dread. It brought that sense of everything is about to end. Is this not what we told thee? They said to Moses in verse 12, is this not the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. What a gloomy assessment. Better to be slaves than to die here in the wilderness. All they could see was death. All was dark. All was bleak. All was despair. And then suddenly God spoke. And God gave a word of direction in the midst of their dilemma. Verse 15, the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. What a command. See the situation. Put yourself in the shoes or the sandals of the Israelites. Feel the joy that rushed through their hearts at being emancipated. Sense the fear that gripped them and seized them and paralyzed them. Sense the pessimism that surrounded them, the despair that engulfed them. And then all of a sudden, God says, go forward. Go forward. What a command. It's a command that crosses over the boundaries of time and imparts timeless application to every one of us. This is God's word. This is God's command. This is God's message to us this morning. Speak to the children of Israel that they go forward. Speak to the fellowship of Free Presbyterians in Ballyclare that they go forward. God's command. It's a command that defies reason. To the human mind, to the human reason, this command seemed inexplicable, absurd. This was something impossible. To go forward means going into the sea. It wasn't just a little shallow stream that lay in front of them. It was a vast sea. It was deep. And they had no boats. They had no bridges. They had children, infants. They had elderly people. Here was a command that, humanly speaking, was impossible. Beyond the ability of the human mind to figure out. But it is an apt and a timely reminder that every now and then God directs His people, His church, in a path that is beyond and above the understanding of His people to figure out. It was a similar situation when that multitude gathered on the slopes near to the Sea of Galilee. And the shades of evening were beginning to set and lengthen. People were hungry. And the Lord said to the disciples, when they brought that little provision of food, 5 loaves and 2 fish, and the Lord said, give it to them to eat. To the human mind, it was beyond understanding. It was beyond reason. Beyond their comprehension. But every now and then, God directs His church in a path that defies reason. It will be of great value and great benefit to all of us in our spiritual lives and in Christian service, to settle it in our minds that not everything God does or calls us to do can fit within the confines of our understanding and reasoning. In fact, it is very seldom that it ever does. For God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My thoughts are infinitely higher than your thoughts, and therefore we must resist the temptation to try and fit God within the parameters of our minds. Isn't it good to know today that the God we worship and the God we serve is a God who is not limited to the parameters of our thinking and our mind and our understanding? The gods of men fit within the scope of their imaginations. But our God is not so. He is infinite. He is unlimited. He is immeasurable. He is incomprehensible. And every now and then, God says to His people, go forward in a way that defies reason, that is above understanding, above the ability of the mind to figure out. Let us be content to worship that God which the human mind cannot comprehend or figure out. Here was a command that defied reason. Go forward. Go forward. When it seemed logically to be illogical, go forward. But it was also a command that demanded faith. Speak to the children of Israel that they go forward when there was no way forward. It was a call to exercise faith in God. But not as some say, for some talk about a blind faith. But that's not the faith that the Bible talks about. When reason cannot see a way ahead or a way forward, faith fixes its focus upon God and upon His Word. If God says, go forward, then, though my reason cannot see a way ahead, if God has said, go forward, then He has said, go forward, because a way has already exist. And if that way does not already exist, then He will make a way. And that's exactly what happened here. Look at this particular command. In verse number 16, God said, but lift thou up thy rod and stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. God was saying, I will make a way. I will make a way. Now you've got to read this command and read this verse in light of what God had already said. Turn back to Exodus chapter 3. And here we find Moses at Mount Sinai before the burning bush, and God appears to him in the bush that burned, and God spoke to Moses. And God explains to Moses that He has chosen him to be the deliverer, and He will bring the Israelites out of their bondage. And God said in verse 12, certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. Ye shall serve God upon this mountain. Yes, Moses would lead them to the edge of the promised land, but before they would get to the promised land, they must come to this mountain first to worship God. And the way to the mountain passed along a route that was divided by the waters of the Red Sea. And if God says to His people, you're going to worship me upon this mountain, if God says that command, and yet there stands what seems to be impossible and impassable to the human mind, if it stands in the way, then faith says, if God says, I'm going to the mountain, He will make a way through the obstacle. And now in Exodus chapter 14, God explains how He's going to make a way. The children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. God is saying, I'm going to part the waters and I'm going to make a solid pathway right to the other side. The command to go forward was a command to exercise faith in God's Word. Initially given in Exodus chapter 3, he shall serve God upon this mountain. But here, more fully revealed, more fully disclosed, you'll go through the midst of the sea on dry ground. God told them what he was about to do. The command was a command to exercise faith in what God had said. And remember that faith is always connected with God's word. We do not believe in a blind faith. We believe in a faith that accepts what God says and rests upon his word as truth and follows with obedience. Now I want you to turn to Isaiah chapter 43. And I mentioned at the beginning that this is a command that passes the boundaries of time and brings its timeless application to every one of us. This is a word from us. How do I know that? Look at Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 16. And the Lord here is referring to the incident at the Red Sea. But he shows how this is applicable in every generation to his people, to his church. Verse 16 of Isaiah 43, thus saith the Lord, which maketh a way in the sea, and a path in the mighty waters, which bringeth forth the chariot and the horse, the army and the power. They shall lie down together, they shall not rise, they are extinct, they are quenched as tar. Now that's a reference to the historical event. But do you notice anything interesting, anything peculiar about it? It's an illustration that this word is not written by man, it's not given by man, it's not the product of man's imagination, because if man had been writing this of his own mind, he would have wrote it like this. The Lord which made a way in the sea and brought forth the chariot and the horse, the army and the power. But you'll notice it's not written in the past tense. It's written in the present. The E-T-H ending on the verb indicates present continuous tense. I am the Lord which makes a way in the sea and a path and in the mighty waters. Maketh. Do you see how the Lord is bringing this right up to date, right into the present? In other words, what he is saying is, what I did then, I am always doing for my people. I am the God that makes a way in the sea and a path in the mighty waters. I'm saying this morning that this command given to the Israelites is a command that travels down through the centuries and comes to us this morning as a word in season from the Lord. God is saying to us, go forward and I will make a way. I will make a way in the sea. I will make a path in the mighty waters. What seems impassable to you and to me, what seems as an insurmountable obstacle, God says, I will make a way in the sea and a path in the great waters. This is a command that demands faith. The exercise of faith to rise up and believe that God will do as he has said. That God is who he says he is. He's the God who makes a way in the sea and a path in the mighty waters. And today the Lord is commanding us as a church, go forward. Go forward. But Lord, we're small in number, small in resources, small in influence. And Lord, the enemy is so great, and the obstacles are so mighty, and the devil seems so busy and so powerful. Lord, the Lord says, go forward, and I will make a way. I will make a way. As we stand at the threshold of a new year, and we think of the work that God has called us to as a church, God is saying to us, go forward. Go forward. And I will make a way. I am the Lord which maketh a way in the sea and a path in the mighty waters. It's a command that demands faith. Will we rise up and trust God and trust His Word? Command that defies reason and logic. A command that demands faith. But it's a command also that displayed God's glory. Turn again to Exodus 14. And this time to verse 17. And I, the Lord says, I, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. And I will get me honor upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, upon his chariots and upon his horsemen. God's chief design, God's chief purpose in bringing Israel to the waters of the Red Sea and commanding them to go forward, God's chief purpose was His own glory. His chief purpose wasn't Israel's protection and Israel's deliverance and Israel's benefit. They needed protection, they needed deliverance, they needed to be benefited. But none of those things was God's chief intention. God's chief purpose was His own glory. Any purpose less than this is unworthy of Himself. God cannot act for anything less than His glory. If He did, then it would mean that He is impelled by a motive less great than His own nature. But when God is motivated by His glory, and when God acts primarily for His glory, He always imparts eternal good, eternal benefit to His people. Our salvation is first and foremost designed for the glory of God, that we should be to the glory of His grace, the praise of His glorious grace. That's why God has saved you, believer. The Lord didn't save you primarily to rescue you from hell. God didn't save you primarily to take you to everlasting glory and everlasting joy. The reason why the Lord has saved us primarily is for His glory, that we should be to the praise of the glory of His grace, the praise of His glorious grace, so that throughout the entire ages of eternity, the redeemed church of Jesus Christ will display the glory of God's grace. Now, whatever God does, it is primarily for His glory, but it always, always benefits His people. That's what happened here at the waters of the Red Sea. Israel were delivered from that sure destruction that was closing in upon them. Israel was delivered, brought safely through. But first and foremost, God designed His own glory as the chief end. You know, God knows what will best promote and secure His glory. That's why He directed them to the Red Sea. And that's why when they came to the Red Sea and they were hemmed in and the Egyptians were pursuing them, that's why He said to them, go forward. You see what's happening? All that has happened, everything that has happened, was happening within the compass of this great purpose to glorify God. And so it is today the Lord directs the steps of His people and directs the circumstances of His people. He directs the trials and afflictions of His people. He directs the joys and the sorrows of His people. He directs the tests of our faith. Whatever it is, it is directed according to what will most glorify Him. There will be times when God brings us to a position in life where, humanly speaking, there's no way forward to the human mind. And when He brings us to that position, it is then we must exercise faith in Him that He is the God who makes a way in the sea and a path in the great waters. But always remember this. When God brings you or I there to that point in life, it's not only that we might exercise faith in the God who makes a way in the sea. He brings us there in order to glorify His name. You see, by going forward, Israel would advance the glory of God. You know, I was thinking, and I've preached on this text quite a number of times through the years. And as I was looking at this text again, I came to it from a completely different angle. I thought, what if Israel had not gone forward? What if they had not gone forward? They would have been destroyed. They would have lost out in seeing the miraculous power of God and deliverance of God parting the waters. They would have lost out. They would have been destroyed. They would have robbed themselves of so much. But ultimately, they would have denied God. Of His honor. And His glory. Our chief end is to glorify God. And God knows what will most glorify Him. And when He says go forward, when it seems that the way is impassable, we must act in faith upon His word, motivated by His glory. It's God's message to us. I'm convinced of this. God has brought us to a point in our history, in our experience, in our work, in our service, in our witness for Him, where He is saying to us as a congregation, go forward. Go forward into new fields of witness, new opportunities of service. Go forward in evangelism. Go forward in work and service for Christ. It's a command that may defy reason. It's a command that will demand faith. But it's a command that will ultimately display the glory of God. And we must go forward. Did you notice what Moses said to the people? In verse 13, when they came to him with their lament, Moses said, fear ye not, stand still. and see the salvation of the Lord. But the Lord said in verse 15, speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. And the point is this, that they would never have experienced the salvation of the Lord standing still. They had to go forward. As Pastor Willie Mullen used to say, it was only when the big toes of the priests touched the rippling water of the Red Sea, at that psychological moment, the waters parted. They had to go forward. They had to step out in faith, acting upon God's word in faith, and only then did they experience the salvation of the Lord. God said to George Muller, I want you to start an orphanage. And I want you to bring in the orphan children. It seems such an insurmountable task. Impossible. What a vast sea in front of them. God said, go forward. And George Muller went forward. And as he went forward, he found that God made a way in the sea and a path in the great waters. The Lord is saying the same to us today. He's saying, don't stand still. It's time to go forward. As a church, as a congregation, it's time to go forward for God. May we resolve in our hearts today to act in faith upon God's word and go forward as a congregation, spreading the gospel, bearing witness for Jesus Christ, and seeking to advance the kingdom of God in this world. Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward, a command that defied reason, that demanded faith, a command that ultimately displayed the glory of God. For when they crossed over to the other sea and the waters returned in upon the Egyptians, then the Israelites sang. Chapter 15 and verse 1. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. He is my God. And I will prepare him an habitation, my Father's God, and I will exalt him. God's way is the way that will most glorify his name. Go forward. Go forward. Don't stand still. Don't turn back. Go forward in faith, trusting God, believing his word. And God will make a way in the great waters. Are you at the Red Sea today? Needing guidance, direction? Your way seems hemmed up, hemmed in. No way forward. God is saying to you today, I'm the God who makes a way in the sea. Now go forward. Trust me. And I will get honor to my name. And I will be exalted. May the Lord help us to go forward like the Israelites. Help us to trust God and to advance his glory. Let's turn